The verses that are before us today in the book of Colossians, I call them anchor verses, because when your life is in the midst of a storm-tossed sea, when your circumstances are upside down, when you're troubled, defeated, discouraged, when you're about ready to throw in the towel, give up, quit, do something different, these four verses can claim our heart and calm our spirit. These are anchor verses, verses that hold us fast in the midst of the storm. Some of us remember a hymn from times gone past that really speak to this. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Then I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. And I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Why are these anchor verses? Because they set forth our foundation, what we're built on, and then they give us our focus, what we ought to be doing while we're here on this earth. And finally, they give us a future hope, what's going to happen to us when Christ our Lord appears. So let me just look at those three thoughts in your presence this morning and encourage you, if you've not already set an anchor passage for your life here on this earth, you consider these four verses. They speak to our minds, intelligence. They speak to our hearts, inspiration. And they even speak to our lives, biblical instruction. Who we are, what we're up to in this world, and what we can look forward to in the world to come. So he begins by saying, if you are raised with Christ. And please note that it's not a question mark, if, as if you might not be. It is a declaration, since you are raised, because you have been raised with Christ. That's our foundation, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hear me well this morning. The cross of Christ is vital to salvation, but the resurrection of Christ is equally valuable when it comes to eternal life. For if they had simply slain him and he was still in the grave, there would be no difference in what we believe and in whom we believe than all of the other religions of this world. The one distinctive that sets Christianity apart from everything else in this world that is claimed to be a religion is that our God lives this morning. He is alive. He's been raised up from the grave. And do you know what that means to you and to me? If Jesus was crucified, and he was, if Jesus was buried, and they buried him, and if Jesus broke forth from the grave and he's alive forevermore, here's what the resurrected life means to every one of us. We just saw a picture of it earlier in the service. When that young man was standing, he was a picture of Christ dying on the cross. When he was buried under the water, he was a picture of Christ being buried in the heart of the earth. And when he came up out of that baptistry. He was a picture of a resurrected Jesus that is alive forevermore. Can I get a witness? Somebody here? So here's what that means. You and I have therefore been delivered from the very penalty of sin. You know how many times the Old Testament says, if you sin, you die? The soul that sins, it dies. You know how many times the New Testament emphasizes the fact that we've all gone astray? We've all missed the mark? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Sin is what you and I have in common. We're all sinners. Rich men, they're sinners. Poor men are sinners. People who have great success, sinners. People who do little or nothing at all, sinners. If you've got a PhD or you're just starting to kindergarten, you're still a sinner who needs a Savior named Jesus Christ. But the resurrected life gives to every believer deliverance from the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is death. And it's not just physical death. It is more than that. It is spiritual death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so every one of us who have trusted in Christ because of his resurrection, we're delivered from death, the penalty of sin. We are also delivered because of the resurrection life from the power of sin. Now, I know we live in a world that's full of sin. I know sin is all around us. And I know because of humanity, sin is still within us. But let me tell you something. You and I can make a choice. You and I can make a difference. Because we've been raised with Christ, we do not have to allow sin to dwell in our mortal bodies. And in fact, in the verses to come in this chapter, we're going to be told to kill off, to mortify, to execute sinfulness in the life of a believer. We're going to be told that because we've been living out the resurrected life, we do not have to give in to the dominance of sin in us. Sin does not have to reign. It does not have to have its way. It does not have to constantly plague us. It does not have to bring us down. We're going to be in the presence of sin, and we're going to participate from time to time because we are sinners. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. The grace of God has delivered me, and so I've been delivered from the very power of sin. And here's some amen stuff. One of these days soon, I'm going to even be delivered from the presence of sin. I'm going someplace where sin is not welcome. In fact, I'm going someplace where sin will not even be allowed. I'm going someplace where sin nailed the Lord of that city to the cross and therefore is hated by all in that city. And so in that city dwells only righteousness and goodness and mercy and purity, and sin's not welcome. This robe of flesh, I'm going to drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. Baptist or not, I'm going to shout while traveling through the air. Amen. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Do you know what happens when the resurrected life becomes a part of daily living for you and for me? All of a sudden, we begin to praise him because we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. All of a sudden, we begin to be conformed to his image because we move away from the power of sin. And all of a sudden, we begin to look for his coming because we recognize that in that day, we will be in his presence, totally delivered from the presence of sin. That's why it's anchor verse. Our foundation for living. Christ gave an illustration in the Sermon on the Mount. Two men decided to build a house. Both went to Home Depot or Lowe's or one of those places like that thousands of years ago. And they both bought all the same materials. And it's important that you know that. It's important that you know they built out of the same materials. It's important that you know that, and here's why. Because it's not the materials they built out of that made the house stand or fall. It's the foundation upon which the house was built that made it stand or fall. And so in the illustration, we're told that one house was built upon the sand, and the other house was built upon a solid rock. And then we're told that when the storm came, the house on the sand folded up and fell, and the house on the solid rock stood. And again, it is important that you recognize it's not where they bought the material to build the house. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not what church we joined. It's not how many times we've been in the baptistry. It's not how many verses we've memorized. It's not how much we've given. It's how many we invited to come to church. It's if or not we have built our house upon Jesus Christ. Foundational verses. If the resurrected Lord lives in you, then you shall be delivered from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and someday soon even the presence of sin. Can I get an amen? Number two, we move from foundation to focus. And I really like this. If you be risen with Christ. Remember, it's not a question, are you risen? It's a declaration. Because you have been risen with Christ, because you have been raised to walk in the newness of life, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you first and foremost to concentrate on spiritual values. Set your mind on things above. Stop thinking about the earthly and focus in upon the heavenly. And in the remaining part of chapter 3 that we'll look at next week, he gives us at least five things that we're supposed to concentrate on, five things that we are to chase after, that we are to pursue, that we are to begin to practice in our lives. He said first in chapter 3, verse 10, I want you to have a greater and deeper knowledge of God. And the truth is, the more I walk in faith, the more I study, the more I live out the Christ life, the resurrected life in me, I am going to know more and more about the God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I want you to live a pure, clean, holy life. Now again, let me tell you, perfection is never going to happen on this earth, but you can lean in the right direction. You can begin to do the right things. You can practice those things that are godly. You can clear your life and clean your life out of those things that bring you down and look to your life in those things that bring you up. Listen, you can have spring house cleaning in the fall. You can get rid of anything that stands between your soul and the Savior. You can lay aside the besetting sin from Hebrews 12. You can get rid of the weight that so easily besets us. What God is saying to me when I read this passage of Scripture is that, Don, if it does not make you more like Christ, it does not belong in your life. And if that's the case, then he's asking in verses 12 through 17 for godly virtues. He wants faith and patience and love and kindness and mercy and tenderness to be a part of my life. And then he wants me in chapter 4, verse 2 to have an effective prayer life that I can keep on staying before the Father, interceding and praying and pleading with God. And then he closes these spiritual values out in chapter 4, verses 3, 4, and 5. I want you to be a faithful witness. When people look at your life, I want them to see not Don, but Jesus. When people look at you, I want them to see who you are in Christ. I want them to see the resurrected life of Christ. He said, not only do I want you to concentrate on spiritual values, I want you to eliminate earthly pursuits. Now, here's something that's got to be said. If you're going to live out the resurrected life, there are certain things that have got to go. You can't go where the majority of the world goes. You can't talk like the majority of the world talks. You can't be what the majority of the world is. Old Vance Havner used to say, if it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, hangs out with other ducks, and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And then he went on to emphasize, if you walk like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, go where the world goes, and talk like the world, you're probably of the world. Well, you can't be of the world if you're going to set your mind on things above. What you set your mind on is a pursuit of spiritual values and the execution of earthly pursuits. You don't chase everything the world offers. You pursue the holiness of God. And when that happens, your focus will be the mind of Christ. So we've covered two of the three. Our foundation, we've been raised with Christ. Our focus, set your minds on things above. And then he speaks finally of our future, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. I'm pretty sold out to the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do I have anybody with me today? No, I said, I'm pretty sold out to the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do I have anybody with me today? No, I said, I'm pretty sold out. Anybody else sold out to the coming of Jesus Christ? He's coming. He's coming. And here's how I know. Every book the Apostle Paul wrote, and every prayer the man ever prayed, and every lesson the man ever taught, wound up talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just could not refrain from emphasizing Jesus is coming again. He might do his best to hang out with practical doctrine, but before long, he got on a doxology that says he's coming again. 1 Corinthians 15, he's trying to tell us about mortal bodies. And all of a sudden, he's talking about immortal bodies when Jesus comes and the dead and Christ are raised. In this very passage, he's trying to combat heresy in the then and now. And he gets on the subject of the after while, and he cannot wait to say Christ is coming and our lives are going to be transformed when he comes again. So I want to tell you today that I believe Jesus Christ is coming again, because there was one man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament who could not think about anything else, talk about anything else, or write about anything else except the second coming of Jesus Christ. He was sold out to the second coming. Well, I'll give you a second reason. On the day that Jesus ascended back to the Father, outside the city of Jerusalem, the angels gathered around. And as Jesus ascended back to the Father, having given the great commission to the church, the disciples stood there looking up like tourists in New York City. And the angels said to them, "Why are you doing that? Why stand you gazing into the heavens?" And let me stop and tell you, the reason the angel said that is because you've got more to do than gaze into the heavens. He just told you to go into all the world. Stop gazing and get going. You get it? Don't sell all you've got and wrap a sheet around you and get on a mountain and wait for the Lord to come back. While you're gazing, men are dying. While you're gazing, the world is taking over. Stop your gazing and start going into all the world and preach the gospel. And then they said this, "Why stand gazing into the heavens?" Because this same Jesus that's taken up from you, this one who died, one who was buried, one who was raised, this same Jesus taken up into heaven is coming again in like manner, just like you've seen him go. So if angels preached it, or Paul preached it, if angels proclaimed it, isn't that enough? Well, it would be, but there's even a better reason. John 14, verse 1, "I know you're frustrated. I know you're anxious. I know you're frightened. I know me going away doesn't set well with your theology." But John 14, 1, "In my Father's house, there's many mansions." And if that wasn't the truth, I'd be honest with you. And the reason I'm going is to prepare a place for you, so that if I go and prepare a place for you, what's the next? I will come again. And where I am, there you may be also. If Paul had never preached it, if the angels had never proclaimed it, Jesus promised it. And that's enough for me to know that that's what's about to happen soon and very soon. And because of that, these are anchor verses. They're your verses when times are tough. They're your verses when the world seems topsy-turvy. They're your verses when you're down and out. They're your verses when you get bad news. They're your verses when things don't seem right. What you keep on saying to yourself is, I'm okay because I'm built on a solid rock and my foundation is the resurrected Christ. I'm okay if I keep my focus on things above and get them off this world. I'm okay because I've got a future in the presence of Jesus Christ because it's been taught, it's been promised, and it's coming to pass. I'm okay in a world that's storm-tossed because I've got an anchor that holds in times of the storm. So the song continues. I've yielded myself to his tender embrace as faith takes hold of his word. And my fetters fell off, and I've anchored my soul because the haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and I'll sail these wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus, I said in Jesus, I said in Him, in Christ, I'm safe evermore. I've got an anchor. Oh, I hope you do. I've got an anchor. I pray you do. I've got an anchor. I plead with you. If you don't have such an anchor, that today you hook yourself up to the promises of Almighty God, that your life is built on a solid foundation, that you spend your time with the right focus, and that you look forward to a future that includes absent from the body, present with the Lord, and out of this world, and into the world to come. Let's stand together. My prayer this morning prior to first service was, Lord, say something to us today. Speak to us today. Lord, I know the music will be great. It always is. And I've really got something to say about the passage. But Lord, more than the message and more than the music, speak to us today. Tell us what's on your mind. Share with us what we need to know directly from you. Because God, there's a lot of noise in this world. There are a lot of voices that claim our attention. And there are a lot of people who are saying things that are not necessarily so. So we want to hear from you today. So if God has truly heard and answered my prayer, here's what He said to every one of us. If you're not absolutely sure your soul is steadfastly anchored in the solid rock, Jesus Christ, there's no better time and no better place for you to come to know Jesus. I think He said to a number of us today, stop your gazing. Stop it. Quit looking around at this world and talking about where we are in history. Stop gazing and start going. Start telling men about Jesus. Start discipling and mentoring folks. Get involved in what real ministry is all about. You want to change your world? You don't like the world you're in? You want to change it? One by one by one by one, tell somebody about Jesus. When hearts get right and lives are lived out after the order of the gospel, things will change. Laws won't change men. Politics won't change men. Success and failure won't change men. Jesus will change men. And I think he's also said to a great number of us this morning, you discouraged? You frustrated? Are you out of sorts when it comes to where you are and what's going on around you? Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Won't be long. Hold on. Hang out. I'm coming. And when he comes in power and glory, he's our life. And when he appears, we'll appear with him in heaven. Somebody needs to trust Christ as Savior. Somebody needs to become a part of this New Testament church. And a great many of us need to get back to the basics of Christian life. Having been built on Christ, the solid rock, we need to be concentrating on spiritual values, and we need to be living out the resurrected life till Jesus comes. If God's spoken to your heart, my prayer is that you've listened and that you will obey his voice.
Face to face with Christ, my Savior.